for any one of you out there who has ever been involved in strong, successful partnerships and the building of them, you know that one thing is certain: they take work. And in many cases, the more partners, the more challenging the work can be. Please stay with me to hear everything you ever wanted to know about a successful one that took lots of patience, tenacity, and yes, quite a bit of blood, sweat, and tears, metaphorically, of course. We're going to share with you the inside scoop about how powerful partnerships charge ahead for Tucson. Hey, everybody, I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson. Before we welcome our guest, I'd like to thank Local First and the Chapman Automotive Group for not only making this show possible, but for all of their hard work to make what was once a dream become an actual reality. And there were days when a lot of us wondered, is this ever going to happen? Joining me in studio is Todd Hanley. Todd has many titles. I'm not going to mention them all on air, including the general manager for Hotel Congress in Maynard's Market. But he is also, I believe, part owner, chief cook and bottle washer, whatever has to be done when one is in charge of running a hotel, two restaurants, and a hot, hip, and happening music venue in downtown Tucson. Hotel Congress is a hub. And I can say from personal observation, his challenges are many and ever-changing. So, Todd, my first question is, can you believe that we're sitting here talking about this?
Well, it's interesting.
Didn't it take 2 years?
We've done a few of these, I guess, remotely, but it does feel very, very satisfying to sit in the actual studio, professionally speaking, and enjoy a podcast with Mrs. Green's World.
It's pretty exciting. That's making me smile.
And I'll say this. There's no metaphor when it comes to blood, sweat, and tears in the hospitality industry.
It is blood, sweat, and tears. I've seen all of those. I think I've seen blood, I know I've seen sweat, and I know I've seen tears. Actually, I've even cried, which is so unusual. Not. So we really intentionally, powerful partnerships charge ahead for Tucson. Thank you, Caliber Group. We're going to talk about them. We don't want to lose our listeners right from the get-go. And the challenge is, you and I know so much, sometimes I gloss over what the whole, like, in the beginning, this happened. And Kelly, my show producer, will say, Gina, you forgot to, like, talk about what it was all about in the beginning. So what we're going to talk about is what the vision was when we all got on board for an EV charging station installation and what it took to make one, yes, one, albeit a very important one, electric vehicle charging station installation to actually be installed, why it took so much work, and why it really matters for the Tucson community and the planet. So I'm not going to talk a lot. I know you don't believe me, Todd, but as best as you can describe, from day one, and we were all there on day one, at least a lot of us were, why was it important to you? Why did you care about having an EV charging station? And how did it help position your vision for the Hotel Congress as what I would call a sustainable institution inside and out in every way? How did it get your interest? Because it was different than changing out straws.
Well, on some levels, blissful ignorance as to the complexity of this project. But, you know, truly, I mean, just... I don't want to sound cliche, but I mean, for me, I've always had a very, very strong inclination to run a business sustainably, you know, with respect to the environment specifically. So back to when I started in 2004, and just over the years, our culture of sustainability with your help, the Mrs. Green's World Greens team, we just became kind of known for that in the community. And I forget how impactful that is until one day, Clear Result asked me if they could install charging stations in our parking lot in partnership with TEP, at which point I say,
what?
Gina, Mike, Local First, Mrs. Green's World, is this legit or am I just getting completely, you know, fished here, you know, not the MTV fish, mind you, or catfished. But so it was that simple. They approached us. I approached you and Mike Peel, asked for basically clarity on this as a reality. And then it took off. I mean, a year and, you know, 6 months later, we're sitting here on a podcast talking about it. But yes.
It just felt like 3 years.
It probably was closer to 2 years, but you will just call it a year and 6 months.
I like that.
COVID is blurring the realities of time every day. So yes. And truly, just part of our business philosophy. I mean, you know it. I mean, you're coming here on a quarterly basis to pre-shift with our staff and say, hey, let's make sure we're not forgetting what's important. You can do this. So we've just created a culture over the last decade here. And this was a big step towards showcasing our commitment and a real commitment, mind you.
You know, there's another thing about this when you, I don't think that you think a lot about, well, I'm going to do this so other people are watching. I know that's not true. You do it because it's the right thing to do, because of you and your wife, your family, your children. It's an authentic commitment on your part because of the shape the planet's in. I do want to tell you on air that another client that I'm working with, when I met with him, he got involved in the local first scale-up training. He said, I want you to do for me what you did for Hotel Congress. So it's wow. Noticed.
No kidding.
It is noticed. He said, I want composting. Amazing. I want this. Yeah. I want that. Because he did his homework with Mrs. Green's World.
Good for him.
To see what role I had. So we're working on another partnership downtown that I hope I can connect. You know who it is. I don't want to say anything yet, but okay. It's very important. It's very important. To be that example that you don't know ever who's watching.
Yeah, this is, yeah, I forget. I mean, there's an analogy, a metaphor about it's very hard to you know, not tell the truth, so to speak, or it's easy to tell the truth because, you know, the truth is consistent. So I've just done what I thought was important. But I will say, you know, altruistically, yes, I just want to be impactful of improving our climate and our community. But I want this to become something important for our state. I mean, there is no doubt that that's a goal. I mean, it's not to just simply install these charging stations, become a kind of a anchor hub of sustainability. I want to get it into the state realm. And that's where Local First Arizona, Chapman Automotive, the Charge Ahead Challenge is going to need a lot of lifting over the next few months here, because we're all still fighting uphill just with COVID and just the economy and the labor force issues and just, quite frankly, some of the complete and utter idiocy in this current community, or not community, this
state.
World, the state.
State,
you know?
Let's call it out. I mean, some of the legislation that's before our legislature, you read it and you think you're reading a fiction book. I think it's important to get across the message that I've seen you in action a lot. I've been down there trying to chase you around. You do wear many hats. It's not blowing smoke at all. I mean, like, oh God, where's Todd? Where's Todd? You had to personally take investment in this. It was your time. With the green team, you said, okay, let's have that person do it. And I would fill you in. It's really important that you have that kind of culture, that it doesn't need you for everything.
Yeah.
I think that really matters. So the green team just started taking off and created a life of its own. In this, you had to be the go-to guy. You had to be the one that answered all the questions.
Yeah, and that was a selfish decision. I wanted to be at the head of this because I knew that I would be shrewd enough in terms of the business decisions into this project to shepherd it along, you know, with the relationships, the networking, but also pushing buttons when they needed to, because this was a very, very complex process. City of Tucson Real Estate, City of Tucson, Park Tucson, not to mention TEP, Local First Arizona. It was a lot. So for me, that was the only way this was going to cross the finish line. And I wanted to reap the benefits of that particular effort because I feel a strong leader sets the tone for culture, but then also not just internally, but externally. So I want the community to know that that's important to me. That's important to the Hotel Congress and Maynard's Kitchen. And I mean, it's inarguable. The last couple months, I think we've pretty much owned the editorial in Tucson. I mean, I'm looking to go grander and bigger, but we're doing things in Tucson that businesses would dream of right now. Not just EV, but I mean, just everything, quite frankly.
I agree. And we can't get off on this tangent.
Yeah,
but
sorry.
No, you didn't get off on a tangent. What I was gonna bring up the new jazz club, because to me, it's the relevance to this is that if you are a property and a residence and a business like yours, you really do have to constantly reinvent yourself in some ways. You have the Agave Festival.
Yep.
You've got the music venue down. You don't have to reinvent anything there because it is so successful. But you still want people to come into your restaurant for the first time. You want people to know they can come downtown. I still have friends that say, well, where do you park down there? And I'm like, please don't say that to
me. Next to the supercharger.
Please don't say that to me. Parking is not an issue downtown unless you're looking for a meter.
Yeah.
There are so many garages there. It's taken on the real the brunt of that, but you have to really keep doing it. And the Jazz Club is a gift to Tucson. It's another one, but again, it takes effort. It takes permitting. It takes dealing with Rio Nuevo, all of those things that are real. So this one, it doesn't seem as glorious, but to me, it's so critical. How do you see us as a community getting from where we are now, which is hardly any electric vehicles? I mean, when you read what the experts and the scientists and the predictors and the people following the legislation are saying, this is going to be on fast forward. Now, Chapman knew that. 4 years ago, Neb Jonas, their head person down here, said to me, he was in Germany. And I said, how'd it go? What happened? 4 years ago, maybe five. He said, all electric.
Yeah.
Everything. Volkswagen, Mercedes, Porsche, they're all talking about electrification.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? How is it going to happen? So is
that's
some
tough question?
Oh,
honestly.
My goodness. Because let's just talk about one thing.
Yeah.
The expense. It's not cheap to do it.
I mean, pragmatically, as a business owner,
bottom line,
you have to look at it from, it's going to be a balance of government incentives, government support, obviously incentives from other agencies, entities, whether or not it's TEP or SRP or APS, power companies basically, but it will obviously take private businesses. And I also very much hope that it's not just large venture capitalists that want to basically suck up EV charging stations halfway between Tucson and San Diego. Yes, we all need to make money. I'm a big, big believer in economic sustainability. We just have to make sure that it reaches all of the community, not just portions of the community. And that for me is the balance. I was talking to Mike Peel last night about this and for a half hour. It cannot be government driven. It cannot be private driven. It cannot be power company driven. It's really a bad metaphor, a three-legged stool for lack of a better.
But it's really true. That's what this is illustrative of. It took the village and lots of hours and frustration. I'm like, oh my gosh, we have another meeting and we have to discuss another thing. And then there's all those layers to it. So I'm glad you're saying that.
I'm cautiously optimistic right now. I mean, I'm still very, very supportive of it. I'm cautiously optimistic over the next 3-5 years, we're going to see it. I mean, because I have a 3-year investment in this right now. I'm into it for 1/3 at this point. And at the end of 3 years, I become essentially the owner operator of the entire system right now, 2/3 supported by TEP, quite frankly. And that includes the maintenance and operation system. So at year 3 or, you know, year 4, day 1, I am going to be owning a small business entity, and it has to be successful or it's going to be just what we hope it won't become, is just a gathering dust. And I don't want to be doom and gloom, but I also don't want to be sugar plum fairies and pixie dust here. I want to speak the truth.
That is now, the worst words come out of your mouth.
I will say this, and I'm going to go on a soapbox for a second, because you can go two ways with the ACC striking down these regulations for clean energy, renewable energy, energy efficiency. One way, here we go again, right? Back to the drawing board. Or maybe, just maybe, power companies, the private enterprises, will move this forward. I'd love to see them both working closely together. However, we obviously see that that's not possible at this point. I do believe there's a lot of work that needs to be done in that specific area around communication to the community. You're paying a green tariff every month as a resident, as a commercial business.
This.
You
yep.
just are. It's simple. Look at your invoice. I mean, I've been looking at it. I'm calculating the math. Anyways, there's work to be done. And if somebody wants to ask me to be on an activism committee, you, Michael Peel, Kimber, Neb, Sign me up.
Yeah. But you talked about the ACC, and a lot of people might not know what that is. It's a very different construct in this state. I think it's unique in the country that we have a corporation commission that regulates utilities. And I don't get me started on that whole thing. It's just another weird thing about Arizona. But I love what you said, because ultimately what is going to make it stick is when it is what I said, powerful private partnerships, private public partnerships where everybody's in the game. And I want to applaud TEP's leadership. They're out there.
Yep,
totally. They are aggressively making it happen. And then someone like Neb, who I hope doesn't listen to this because I don't want to ever say something nice about him on the air. Just kidding. He gets it.
Yeah.
He really gets it, and he knows where we are going. Yeah. And I think I'm a visionary. It's very hard for me to see how we're going to get from there. I was so privileged to provided me a car as part of our partnership. I had the most wonderful electric vehicle that one could dream of. And I said to them, why did you give me this gorgeous vehicle? I miss it. I'm going to miss it forever. But it does have its challenges.
Small symbol.
Because it's great for in town, which is where 95% of the people drive. But when we took a trip, it still has its challenges because of EV infrastructure.
Yep.
So the question in that long thing is your EV charging station going to be available to anybody that's driving downtown? They don't have to be a customer, or what is your vision for how people
100%,
can use it?
100%.
Okay. When public.
It's a public charging station. Currently, there are no meters in those spots. The Park Tucson hasn't put those meters in, but eventually they're going to meter those because that's another source of revenue. But right now they're just charging stations for the public. I mean, we will install the second half of the charging stations hopefully sometime in the spring. Obviously, the supply chain reality is impacting this. But then from there, I'm still trying to figure out how to make this a part of our business culture from a marketing and PR, because I do need to generate revenue from this by virtue of not just the charging station, but people staying at the hotel, people eating and drinking at Maynard's. And that's going to be a little bit of a heavy lift, I think, because it's still very, very, kind of early in the stages of people see charging stations and they don't quite grasp exactly what they can do for our community, our climate. So we're one step in front of the other is what I'm trying to say.
I think about what came to mind is the visual, like when you pull that rubber band back and pull it back and pull it back and pull it back. Once you let go, I think there's going to be a cascading effect. I have to believe that it's going to happen. So let's just go a little bit more into the weeds about this is a business model. Yep. So how is that going to work? I know because I went, when I first started, all of the supercharging stations were at Walmarts, super Walmarts across the country. Mm-hmm. It's been something they took on, challenges, because some of them are offline, whatever. So I paid. I plugged my charger card in, which is way cheaper than gas. Did I mention that? Like way, 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 way cheaper than gas.
Yes.
So is that the revenue model that you're hoping? I know that a part of it, it's also attracting people, which I think will happen more and more.
I mean, the studies that Michael Peel produced for me, he did a lot of the back-end research, shows me that really the benefit comes from the indirect retail, whether or not
it's
food, beverage, hotel rooms. Retail for us is food, beverage, hotel rooms.
You're not going to ever make enough money on a charging station revenue.
Even if it made a little. Disheartening at this point, but I think we just have to stare common sense and reality in the face. I mean, it's just that simple. We have to look at it from that perspective. Don't shy away from it, because if you do, then you're going to have people that don't agree with this vision, this path forward. You give them ammunition. You give them information that says, I told you it's not going to work. Guess what? We're embracing this. We know it's not a perfect solution right out of the gate. Nobody's talking about this. Let's just be real. I mean, what is wrong with that? And for me, that's how I want to approach it, because I don't want to just appeal to, the EV Jerrys of the world that's running around in his Nissan Leaf, which we all probably know him who listens to this podcast. But I want to appeal to my wife's friends that have minivans that, schlep their kids around for soccer, volleyball. Yep. I mean, that's the path forward. Now, obviously, again, it's definitely at the infant stages, but It's part of the solution. It 100% is.
That's what early adopters do.
Yeah.
We're the ones, I'm definitely one, I'm leading the charge. Like, who ever heard of Mrs. Green's World 15 years ago? Only me. It was a voice in my head.
Yeah.
But you get out there, and in so many things that I was involved in, like now, the eco travel, tourism is like one of the hottest things happening. My young daughter, when she goes traveling, she looks for an eco lodge. So those things, I think they're becoming more and more and more important. Yeah. And you'll be there.
Incrementally, for sure.
You'll be positioned.
But let's also just not forget to talk about just, again, I had, some people post on Instagram, waste of money. Where do you think the energy comes from? Okay, folks, guess what? Yes, we get it, right? It may come from natural gas. It may, heck, God help us, come from coal, oil. But the reality is the commitment by power companies to get to clean, renewable energy.
The fact
of the matter is it's still not emitting all of those terrible carcinogens out of your tailpipe. I mean, there are benefits. Those are, for me, the knuckleheads that just don't even want to see any benefit. They just want to say no. But it's back and forth. It's not a simple...
It's a process.
Yes, absolutely. So everybody relax. It's a process. Celebrate the wins. Hopefully, hey, if 30% of our greenhouse gas emissions come from cars, I think it's, and don't quote me, 20 to 30%, but you get the idea, right? If we can reduce that, why not? And most importantly, and this is a plug for the business that has helped me beyond this platform, it's great when businesses with iconic status such as the Hotel Congress make that commitment, because to your point, people are paying attention. And that's I don't go to sleep celebrating that. I go to sleep celebrating, I hope that it makes somebody believe that the change can happen with one step.
So from a personal standpoint, having an electric vehicle in my home was a walk in the park piece of cake because the vehicle came with the charging station. I didn't need to get a supercharger. So literally drive all around town, come home, plug my car in, get up in the morning, and it's at full charge. That's what it took. So for homeowners, I think that's going to be one of the easiest pieces. But the critical part, like I almost got stuck out in Marana.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh my God. And I went to where the bank, EV charging station bank is at that mall that I had never been to. And every one of them was offline. There were like seven of us trying to.
That's unacceptable.
And it's got to get better. Yeah. And I know that now there are enough people getting on this train that the good ones are getting ratings. And you can check Yelp and you can do research on what are the charging stations, the ones that you can really count on.
Sure.
Work and not be offline. The other thing I want to say is they're all serious, because everyone I ever went to, and I've had quite a few failed, you can call the number.
Yeah.
And they help you and they tell you where another one is. So there's 24-hour support, which doesn't happen at a gas station. We have a lot more gas stations.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, again, a small little feather in the cap of EV for sure. Their service for these units is pretty unbelievable, whether or not email or phone call. I would agree with you. But to your point, I mean, if you're going to cruise across the desert to San Diego,
know where your port
better
points
know.
Are.
But that's better where we know. Have to. I mean, that's where, again, I'm pragmatic. We have a long ways to go. I mean, and for full transparency, you know, people listening to this podcast, I don't have an EV car.
I was going to ask you that. Do you think that could happen?
You can blame Ford. not really. But I mean, I am one of those guys that does need a truck. I apologize.
No, but you do. That's real. Don't apologize.
Okay.
People say that to me because I'm Mrs. Green. If you are a farmer out in the middle of whether it's Casa Grande or Iowa, you do not want to be riding your Audi EV at all.
Well, I'm not a farmer, but I am a pretty big guy. So, 6'4", 220.
And you have to haul things?
I mean, for the work. So I have a little bit of excuse. I mean, the truth of the matter is I'm just, hey, it's one of those things I like to drive. I'm sorry. I do have
really
a vice
okay.
in my life.
I do so. Too. I said, that example came up today and I went, you know what? I do enough other things and I'm just going to do this because it's about getting to 10%, 20%, 50%.
But, totally.
So let's go back to a tough question. And if you don't want to really get into it, I think it would be disingenuous on my part to not ask the question.
Sure.
There were bumps in the road. There were challenges. There were frustrations. There were times when I threw the phone down and said, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
This is BS. Can you just, without, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, because this is ultimately a story with a very happy ending. We have the charging stations. I want to ask it because it's illustrative of, we went through the process. Yeah. What were some of the biggest challenges? And do you think it will help with paving the way for future installations around our city?
I hope so. I mean, I believe so. I mean, ultimately, because it was such a complex partnership, Chapman Automotive, Local First Arizona, you know, private business, nonprofit, Mrs. Green's World. You're a nonprofit or just business?
Business.
Business, you know.
And that's why I'm all about the bottom line.
Good point, yeah. Sustainably, economically sustainable. But then you look at City of Tucson, Park Tucson, which is kind of a quasi-governmental department. They have the parking meters there. We have lease rights to that parking lot, but that is city-owned property. Then you throw in State of Arizona, who wanted to partner with this demonstration project utilizing a different manufacturer, the manufacturer ChargePoint, which is very well embedded in Phoenix and, I guess, doing some wonderful things. The challenges were I'll list them simply. I mean, the complexity is we don't have even enough time over the course of 24
hours. No, and
it's
really complex. Just the installation, the physical part of the permitting, and it's new. It's uncharted waters.
The size of the supercharger. So let's be clear. There's going to be two superchargers, which are different than the fast chargers. So think fast charger. Yeah, 4 hours. Superchargers, 2 hours, right? That's the easiest way to explain it. The charging something in 2 hours that can go 75 to 85 miles an hour takes a lot of juice. We needed a whole new transformer. We needed a 480 amp panel. And then we needed a drop down panel to basically control the electrical flow to the fast chargers, not the superchargers. We needed an easement from the City of Tucson Real Estate. We needed a survey from Cypress Civil.
Cypress Civil?
Just a surveying. Civil survey company, an engineer company. Basically, where they were going to go longitudinally and laterally. I mean, it could go on and on. The government, the State of Arizona, unfortunately, through just the reality it wasn't a State of Arizona property and some gift laws and some regulations had to pull out of the project, you know, but they were really great to work with leading up to it. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, disparage them because they're wanting to do it. It's just sometimes bureaucracy gets in its way. Simple.
And again, that speaks volumes about when you're the first to do a project of this magnitude with multiple partners. And I'm with you. And that delayed things a lot. However, it was an impetus for moving it forward as well.
Sure.
So we have to give them the due. And then did you work with, I want to give a shout out to Technicians for Sustainability and share a very funny story.
the LinkedIn post?
No.
Oh, okay.
I am down there and I was down at Hotel Congress. And somebody, Mike or Peel or somebody, I got a text saying it got approved. It might have been something that you sent out. And I was down there and I swear to you, Technicians for Sustainability were there pronto, like right away. I came out and I'm like, what are they doing? And you said we got approved on a Sunday night, I think. And on Monday morning, they were down there doing the installation. Is that accurate?
Yes. And in the sense they were great. I will trust your good memory on that, but I mean, I'll tell you that I would have not worked with anybody but Technicians for Sustainability, TFS. I mean, they're local. We don't have to sit here and analyze their business model. I mean,
which I absolutely love. It's employee owned.
It's employee owned. Their business is to be sustainable, both economically and from a climate.
Boom,
they were great. I mean, Rip was the project coordinator. She talked me off many cliffs just because I'm not the most relaxed person in the world. So, but I'm also looking to partner with them into the future with Clear Result, with Local First Arizona. I mean, who better to package this project than Technicians for Sustainability? They did the heavy lifting. I mean, they did the infrastructure work. I mean,
literally the heavy lifting.
Literally.
Because I was down there and they had a crane and they had a whatever those machines are, digging the ditches and on point right there to make it happen.
Kevin, Brian, I mean, they're just, it's a wonderful organization. And a quick plug is, I mean, I know the new locations that I want to go to and I'm going to you say Mission Garden at the base of A Mountain.
Yes.
An American Eat company.
Julia Robinson is doing the happy dance.
I just talked to Julie. Again, this is idea, not even ready to go into execution, but we go into South Tucson with American Eat Company. We go into the west side of downtown with Mission Garden. I mean, it's something. I just need to, you and I need to spend some time with TEP in the next few weeks here and kind of get some momentum going. But I would be remiss if I don't, again, talk about the Charge Ahead Challenge, right?
Yes.
That's kind of why we're here. Chapman Automotive comes to this partnership with the financial support to allow you, Local First Arizona, and Charge Ahead Arizona with Caliber Group to put this out into the digital and print ether. And it only becomes successful if we can do this a few more times. I mean, so we have work to do. Let's celebrate the past victories, but let's move forward.
And tell the story, because that, to me, that's what I was so excited about for this. It was so long in the making. We were cooking this stew for a really long time. And when it finally happened, it really matters. And it does, like I said, when someone comes to me who's an expanding business owner of a bar and he's going to have eating and they're making a private facility move, when he says, I want you to do for me what you did for Hotel Congress, people are watching this, but we have to let them know that we want them to watch it. That's how I feel.
And make sure too, I mean, for those listening, you know, the Charge Ahead Arizona, it's, I don't know the exact website, you may be able to pull it up, but it's, you know, localfirstarizona.com/chargeahead. I mean,
we'll
you can Google it. Just
we'll
Google
put it.
It
in the links to the show notes. Kelly is so, so good about that.
Yeah, that's because it doesn't have to be this intense, large, 2 superchargers, 4 fast charger installation. You know, this was a 150,000 plus project. The fast chargers, L2s, can cost you $6,000. And you can put them in probably for between $15,000 and $20,000. So you work with TEP and you subsidize X percentage of that. Then all of a sudden, it's the momentum. It's the momentum. It's a business model that we all should be striving to work towards with small steps, as Scale Up has always taught. Small steps, do what you can do. But this to me is with TEP supporting this mission, you know, by 2030, they're looking to be 80% renewable. That may change, but that may tweak a little bit, but at least they're acknowledging the commitment. So
I have taken a lot of flack for just promoting TEP every chance I get, every opportunity I get, and I stand by it. Like, I am unabashedly proud of my partnership with them because I know what's going on in the country. I also know they're owned by Fortis, which is a Canadian company, and Fortis looks to TEP for leadership in what's happening. They have an amazing... They have a green team that is changing the culture of that. They're being green from the inside out, not just offering rebates to customers. And we go back and forth to Taos a lot, as you know. And you should see they have these wind and solar farms in New Mexico. Yeah. And I see them transporting. So they're investing in our future. It's funny, we can't do it in this show, but the whole conversation that you mentioned very briefly about 10 minutes ago about CO2 emissions, I think I was 6 years into this before my friend Jim Beiser from the U of A sat me down and explained exactly why they're bad. I didn't understand it, that every CO2, every single molecule that is emitted goes up and is being stopped right now by a very, very, very thin film, in the atmosphere.
Called ozone.
The ozone, right? The ozone, right? So the ozone is holding it all in. And when I said, so Jim, you know, I don't understand how, if it's climate change and warming, how come there's all this vast, like the tornadoes and the flooding and all that? And he explained it, because it comes back down. It has to be let out somehow. So the fierceness of the storms are part of what's happening. Yeah. And when something like this happens, I think about it. So believe it or not, we've eaten up about 30 some minutes. And I want to ask you, the worst nightmare for me would be, because this was so involved, is there anything that we didn't cover that you're going to get in the car and say, oh, crap, Gina, we should have done that? Because we really did pay homage to the partners.
Yes.
Mike Peel is no longer at Local First, but his leadership was profound.
Yep.
And now he's a researcher. And gosh, do we miss him. He's a full-time student working on his PhD to help us all. But What else? Is there anything critical? Major partnerships. 47 years married. You have to have give and take. Have to know if it's going to be successful.
I think we, outside of maybe just some of the more, you know, some of the statistics, but go to the website. Go to Local First Arizona. Google Charge Ahead. You'll see the statistics. They're intriguing. I mean, I think the knowledge of the Arizona Corporate Commission, the knowledge that, again, you know, private-public partnerships are critical to this particular kind of movement forward is really how I would end. I will say that obviously it's 2022. We're still dealing with a pandemic, you know, Omicron, COVID, blah, blah, blah. The fact is we need to make a move now. I mean, and it's not a light switch. I just want to emphasize
it
that. It's
not
like everybody
a light
gets
switch.
So
yes.
caught up. It's like, my gosh, this is a long process.
Immediate satisfaction.
Yeah, but that's I have three daughters. They live on immediate satisfaction through social media. So
I know. I want it now.
Seriously.
It's instantaneous. But I think it's going to be fun to watch how it unfolds and to see in the next 2 years how I still have that thing inside of me that says, how are we going to get from here to there? And I just have to be on the train and have faith.
One quick point, and I want to say this because I've been networking for the last couple of weeks, trying to step away from the day-to-day Hotel Congress operations. And I was talking to a gentleman who ran a festival in Chicago, north side of Chicago, called the Ravinia Festival, unbelievably successful festival. And he's promoting a concert at the end of February that will include a panel discussion. I mentioned this in an email with Joaquin Ruiz, Greg Garfin, I think.
Greg Garfin, I just contacted Joaquin.
The key to this is that he said this, and it was so eloquent. We can move this needle forward through arts and humanities. You can bridge the gap from science arts and humanities. But let's go one step farther, and let's create jobs. Why not? I mean, let's create sales tax. Let's create revenue. It's possible. And Southern Arizona is ready to pop.
You're kind of freaking me out a little bit because I think you just channeled me. I'm not kidding.
No.
You did. I was thinking what we really need to emphasize here is to all those naysayers, these are real green jobs that are not going to be like fracking where they go in, frack the crap out of the land, have a lot of jobs for 6 months, and then they leave and there's like a small crew to maintain the fracking station. That's the truth about fracking.
Yeah, yeah.
So in this case, there's going to be people that are manufacturing the parts. There are going to be people that are involved in the installation. And then there's going to be maintenance and all that goes with it. They're not a one-off. There are going to be real sustainable jobs. And I'm happy that you mentioned all of our commitment to the social justice piece of this, because a lot of the criticism that I've seen on social media is that electric vehicles are for rich people. I will tell you this right now, that's pretty much true. I would say middle class.
Yeah, sure.
But the prices are coming down and down. Volkswagen is leading the charge, so to speak.
Yeah, right.
For getting
pun intended
for affordable vehicles. And they are, of course, it was going to be a whole different scenario in terms of supply. But it'll happen. It'll open up and things will change and the numbers are down a third across our state.
Yeah.
So I hope that we can see things accelerate a little bit. And thanks for your leadership.
Yeah, thank you.
It matters.
Hopefully
it was fun.
Yeah.
No, this part was fun. It wasn't always fun with that, but we did it. And we stayed together and we joined arms.
Yeah.
And now we have an example for Tucson and putting us on the map for yet another thing. I know Visit Tucson for everything you do is thrilled because it makes more attractive. It's kind of counterintuitive to have people travel here. But let's be honest, people are going to travel.
Yes, exactly.
Hello, I'm going to travel. I plan on traveling a lot this summer.
We need to talk common sense, right? I mean, there's a lot of smart people out there. We'll figure this out. But let's hone in on what we can control, which we talked a half hour about. And again, thank you for the support from Chapman Auto of Mrs. Green's World, Technicians for Sustainability, Caliber Group, Local First Arizona, obviously, TEP, Clear Result. It was a great
Lots
project.
Of partners. Yeah, and the partners. I'm glad I don't have seven husbands.
I'm close. I have three daughters, two dogs, and a wife.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, but it's true. It's really hard. So my final reflections on this are, what I hope for this podcast is that people will not only listen, but they will share it. I'm doing like this very passionate call to action so that you can understand more of it. how to contact you will be on the notes on the show. Yeah. But if you're listening, the one act you could take is to listen and then share the podcast. It honors a lot of really good, solid businesses in this community and our major utility that they do so much good for this community. They had a big Beat Bat Buffalo Grass on Saturday where they had hundreds of volunteers.
Yeah.
Which is a horrible job to go pull buffalo grass out of the dirt. So I want to thank you for your leadership, all the partners. It was delightful working with them, at times challenging, but we got through it because we kept our eye on the prize,
yep,
which is a cleaner, greener community. So thanks, and we'll be crossing paths lots more.
Yeah, definitely. Pressure's on. Thank you, Gina.
Yeah, and I always end with thank you, our listeners, for being a part of my world, because without you, there would be no us. Make it a great green day.